Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of The Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the allegedly least corrupt country on earth, with a leader of the coalition for the, you know, current government, just got done for fraud. Electoral fraud, no less. This country's so freaking corrupt. And, like, and here's how you know it's corrupt. Because no corruption gets reported. You know why? Because the entire apparatus of this entire country's government is specifically there to prevent the corrupt getting caught because they built this system. And they lack it this way. I don't like it this way. And I think it's a good idea to send them to frickin' jail for their crimes. You know, crime and punishment, law and order. Aren't those kind of like election platform things? I think it's pretty reasonable. Now, speaking about election platforms, in Law and Order, we have from the LaRouche Pack organization, Mr. Michael Billington. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Yes, glad to be here.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
What have you been up to, bro?
Well, we're, you know, everything we talked about in the past, which was that the world was careening towards a global financial breakdown and towards global war, has now been brought to the brink. We are literally sitting on, as you can see, with this Ukraine situation where Obama and his British controllers literally placed a neo-Nazi government in power, not even hiding the fact that these were the collaborators of Hitler back in the 1940s, and are now massively, openly, and proudly, actually, preparing for a war on Russia. While the entire Asia theater is being heated up with the U.S. using Japan and the Philippines to create an environment in which their planned war on China, the official U.S. doctrine being the air-sea battle doctrine as a first strike threat to China, all this is in place. And what's most important is that this is driven by the financial breakdown crisis. This is what people have to grasp, is that the desperation in the West, which is now sitting on top of a bubble far bigger than the 2007-2008 bubble that burst with the collapse and ultimately the Lehman Brothers collapse, so-called. But that bubble was never dealt with. It was simply replaced by pumping literally trillions of dollars into the banks, taking it, basically imposing huge debts on governments in Europe and the United States. Virtually every government in Europe and the United States is now clinically bankrupt. And therefore, they are moving on two directions. One is they're moving to bail in, bail-in we probably didn't discuss before. This is now also the law of Europe and the law of the U.S. under the Dodd-Frank bill, which is that since they no longer can have governments absorb the trillions of dollars of unpayable derivative gambling debts, they're simply going to start stealing accounts, as they did in Cyprus. That was sort of the model for the so-called bail-in.
The day after that announcement from Cyprus, the New Zealand Prime Minister, the former Federal Reserve banker on the board for 2 years in charge of derivatives for the European Theatre, I believe, in New York, he said, yeah, I think that's a really good idea to do that to New Zealanders as well. You know, anybody who's got more than 10 grand in your savings account, we can take it. You know, that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. They're saying that deposits in banks are no longer banks holding your money in trust, but rather when you deposit money, even in a CD or a savings account, you're investing and you're an investor and therefore you're taking risk. And therefore, if the bank's derivative bubble blows, they're going to simply steal that money, taking, as you know, 50%, 60% of your deposits. Of course, one big case of a bank going under and bailing in will mean an immediate global run on the entire banking system. They know this. This is playing with fire. But the bail-in process is not just taking the money from banks. Have you been watching what's going on in Argentina?
Well, I'm just wondering who's going to benefit from the run on the banks and whatnot, and when they'll actually plan to stage it so it's most advantageous to them, so that they've secured their strategic assets and then they can buy up the world for pennies on the dollar.
Well, that's probably sort of something that would take place, but don't give them too much credit for having brains. Right? This is simply desperation, and the level of desperation in implementing bail-in is expressed in an even more overt and an insane form in their push for war. I mean, obviously, we're in an age of thermonuclear weapons. This is not a time where you can wage a world war and expect to come out a winner. This is extinction of civilization kind of wars that we're dealing with here. The Russians know this. Putin has been very wise and very cautious in responding to this mobilization for war. He won't be drawn in as they're trying to draw him in to justify a war. But it's also reaching a point of such extremes, first in the Ukraine situation, and now, as you see in Iraq, where what was set in motion by Tony Blair and his puppets, Bush and Cheney and Obama, is now, you know, coming home to roost with the Al-Qaeda apparatus funded and run by the British and the Saudis, which we were waging war with in Syria, i.e. we are working with the Al-Qaeda in Syria to overthrow Assad, as we did in Libya, where we worked with Al-Qaeda to overthrow Gaddafi. Now we're threatening to go to war against our Syrian allies in Iraq. So this is a level of insanity which you have to sort of grasp as a situation, again, driven by the complete bankruptcy of the Western financial system and their view.
I agree that it's insanity, but I'm not sure if it's stupidity plus insanity. I think it's kind of psychopathy plus insanity.
Well, I accept that. Yeah, that's what I mean by insanity. They're psychopaths. Yeah, there's no question. And when they look at what's going on in Eurasia, where Russia and China and now India with this new government with Mr. Modi, all three of these great powers, these huge nations that represent really the majority of the world's population, and the rest of Asian countries as well, are on a forward trajectory. They're going with great infrastructure projects between them. Putin was in China a few months ago, signed about 46 huge deals, including this massive oil and gas pipeline deal, space collaboration, building new nuclear power plants. China is now going to work with Russia in building a tunnel under the Bering Strait. Of course, we would have to completely change the United States to make that happen. But all of this, all of what I've gone through really leads to the main point I wanted to make with you today, Vinny, which is that Obama's going down. There are multiple reasons. I'm sure you've discussed them many times with your audience, the many crimes of Barack Obama, in terms of ripping up the Constitution, going to war, like in Libya, with no with no congressional approval, not even going to the Congress, explicitly against our Constitution.
Well, I don't know about you, but it just seems par for the course. Bush did that, Clinton did that, Nixon did that, Reagan did that. Who didn't do that?
Oh, no, that's even Bush, actually. While Bush and Cheney were guilty of many impeachable crimes, even Bush went to the Congress to get approval for his criminal war against Iraq. Of course, it was based on a massive lie. Now, two things have happened in the last 2 weeks. One is that Tony Blair has been brought up on impeachment charges in the UK Parliament. This is extremely important. I hope you've been following this. It came about because when the Al-Qaeda apparatus swept through Iraq, Tony Blair, who of course was responsible for the massive lies that justified the war in Iraq, the sexing up of the dossier on weapons of mass destruction, lying about yellow cake from Niger and so forth. He went on TV and said, oh, this is what's happening now has nothing to do with what I did. The problem is that we didn't go to war in Syria. And if we'd done that, then we wouldn't have this problem. And people were so incensed by this this incredible satanic character who has brought murder to a new level of perfection, you know, mass murder, that finally several people, a leading journalist, and then the so-called, what do they call him, the father of the house. He's the longest sitting member of parliament. I think his name is Tisdale. Asked Cameron in the question and answer period, he said, are you aware that there's a growing momentum for an impeachment of Tony Blair? And this set it off. And the next day, Galloway, who is a former Labour Party guy who was thrown out because of his opposition to the Iraq war, introduced an impeachment. And in the UK law, impeachment is not just to remove somebody from their position, but you can actually have a criminal trial in the parliament if the crime was committed against the nation. And in Tony Blair's case, that's obviously the case. So they could literally send him to prison. And this then was followed by the revelation that came out this last week in a book written by Edward Klein called Blood Feud, about the fight between Obama and the Clintons. And in that book, he quotes people close to the Clintons inside the situation who revealed that on the night of 9/11/2012, that's the Benghazi case, you know, where they killed the CIA agent and three other Americans, killed the ambassador to Libya and two CIA and another guy, that this was that night Hillary was the best briefed on what was going on. She was aware that this was an Al-Qaeda attack on the anniversary of 9/11.
Well, of course she'd be aware it's an Al-Qaeda attack. The CIA funded them.
What the CIA was doing there was running Libyan guns to Syria through Turkey. That's why they had that CIA outpost up there. So they were working with the terrorists basically to try to gather up weapons. And it's still not clear exactly what the ambassador's position. But rather than getting into those details, what's revealed in this book, which is going to bring Obama down, is that Hillary was well informed that night that there was a terrorist attack, that the ambassador had been killed, and that there was an assault on the CIA headquarters there. When at 10 o'clock that night, she got a call from Obama, who said, I want you immediately to release a State Department press release saying that this was an incident, a demonstration gone amok against this video of Muhammad, and that this was not Al-Qaeda. Because Obama had been making his campaign and his reputation by saying, I killed Osama bin Laden, I've got Al-Qaeda on the run, and he was not going to allow a terrorist incident on his watch. So therefore, he instructed Hillary to lie and put out this document. She said, this is not credible. This is the anniversary of 9/11. It's not credible that this was a demonstration about a video. I can tell you that this is a carefully planned terrorist assault. And he said, do it. She called Bill, and Bill said, I can't believe he wants to say this. It's not credible. Nobody will believe it. But both of them, being who they are, said, well, but I want to be president. and therefore I'm going to do what he said rather than resigning or something I should have done.
And let me guess, appallingly, people believed it.
Well, nobody believed it, really. Think about it. That was, you know, this was the thing that blew up in their face. They sent Susan Rice on the talk shows, and she said, oh, it was just a demonstration gone amok. And Hillary put out that false press release, but nobody believed it. And now it's blowing up. Several things happened. I won't go through the details, but through a long, hard fight, we forced out several documents showing that the administration knew that they were putting out a lie. And then this book's release, which we independently confirmed with people, including one of the lawyers directly involved in the case with Hillary, we've confirmed this story, which means that Hillary herself has the evidence that Obama lied about the most serious terrorist attack on America since the 9/11 2001, man, killing a major U.S. official.
This is right? Big, Mike.
Yeah, it's very big. This is going to bring Obama down. We are in full mobilization in the Congress and around the country and around the world to get our emergency leaflet out. If you didn't get it already, I'll send it to you. And your listeners should certainly get it by going to our website, LaRouchePac.com.
Not to be confused with the French abuse website known as LaDouchebag.com. But continue, Mike.
Certainly not to be confused with that. So essentially, this is the evidence required to finish the story. Now you're beginning to see serious cracks in the armor. Leading Democrats, the senator from Virginia, Tim Kaine, who put an op-ed in the Washington Post yesterday, saying that Obama's deployment of these special forces to Iraq is illegal, it's unconstitutional, he has to come to the Congress, he cannot deploy military forces. So we're seeing, you know, again, the same thing that we saw in Iraq, that we saw in Libya. Only in this case, again, Obama's saying, I don't have to go to the Congress. And finally, some Democrats are getting beginning to figure out that kissing his ass in order to get elected and keeping Wall Street happy so they get the money for their elections, that's treason. And it's not even going to work because the population is so enraged at the complete collapse of our economy, the continuous, illegal, useless, losing wars that we've been fighting, and most importantly, that the economy is heading for a crash which is at this point irreversible if we don't implement the kind of Glass-Steagall policies that you know, we've discussed before, that Wall Street has to be shut down, period. And Glass-Steagall will shut down Wall Street. It'll save the commercial banks the only way they can be saved at this point, which is to shut down the investment bankers and their collaboration with the so-called too-big-to-fail banks, the J.P. Morgan Chases and the Bank of America and so on.
Can I
These
ask,
banks,
Mike? Yeah. Have they been considering a jubilee? I mean, considering all this debt, quadrillions of it, derivatives and et cetera, never actually existed in the first place, except for people just making it up and then pretending that it exists. Yeah. Why don't we just pretend that it doesn't exist, and cancel all the debt?
This is what the Catholic Church historically promoted, and it's the right idea. Glass-Steagall does that legally. This is what Franklin Roosevelt did.
So it's like literally the Glass-Steagall legal eagle.
Yeah, yeah, it does that. Because look, I mean, just to remind you what Glass-Steagall does, I mean, it would separate the investment bankers again. They've all been merged, you know, since Glass-Steagall was done away with at the end of the Clinton administration. And that's what led to the Bush and Cheney crowd just going berserk with the wild speculation and derivative bubbles. But reimpose it, then you basically go into these banks, the so-called too-big-to-fail banks. You separate out the wasted gambling debts, the derivative speculation, from real debt. I mean, a lot of the debt is investments in the real economy and industries and agriculture and infrastructure and hospitals and schools and cities. All of that's legitimate debt. But it's now swamped by this gambling debt, the derivative bubble. You separate that out and you basically shove that derivative bubble back into the investment banks and you let them sink or swim. They get no government support. Only the commercial banks get government support, and only if they can prove that they're solvent. Now, this is a big, big job, but nothing short of that can possibly stop this total collapse that's now sweeping through Europe and the United States. And then secondly, that's not enough. You then have to go back to the credit system, the creditary system that was developed by Alexander Hamilton that really built this country, which is that the government takes responsibility for directing the credit through a national bank, not a central bank like our Fed or your central bank, but through a national bank owned by the government, which directs the credit into useful enterprise, into industry, agriculture, infrastructure, schools, hospitals, those things needed to advance the science and the technology and the education of the population and the productivity of your population. That's real economics, as the once called the American system, but long since forgotten here in America, you know. But if you do that,
well, that system,
the Wall Street crowd's going under. They're not going to survive. They can't deal with this massive bubble. They're just going to collapse, and good riddance. We don't need them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cut off the dead weight, mate.
Yeah.
All they are is just leeching parasites, gambling scum. I mean, basically, it's more or less just a giant gambling mafia craps table or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, gun underneath the table.
You should look at the what's going on in Argentina. It's very instructive. I don't know if you followed this historically, but you might remember that Kirchner, the president back in 2001 or two, I forget, declared a default because they had been
The World Bank came in and they basically did their classic move, which is the World Bank 111 point plan, which is a white paper from it that got leaked, to basically privatize everything. And more or less, you can privatize an entire country, virtually even the citizenry, and turn it into a military dictatorship just by buying the authorities, literally.
Yeah, privatizing, basically massively cutting all state sector workers, cutting pensions. This is what's being done to Greece and Spain and Italy today, right now. And this was being done to Argentina, and they stood up and said, no, sorry, folks, we are not going to pay this debt. It just as you just said, Vinny, it's not legitimate debt. This debt was imposed on us to refinance other debts at higher interest rates. And finally, we were basically dumped with a total mass of debt that was not legitimate. We will pay, but we're only going to pay a percentage. Yeah. And they ended up paying about 25 or 30%. But when they made that deal, which was totally legal under the international laws and so forth, about 92% of the creditors agreed. But a small 7%, which were these vulture funds, hedge funds, who had bought up government debt at a nickel in the dollar with the intention of collecting 100% on the dollar. And they refused the deal and have been going to court fighting to demand 100% payment. And finally, they found a corrupt judge in New York named Grisa, who ruled in their favor that Argentina had to pay. And in fact, they had to pay not only the entirety of that hedge fund debt, but they couldn't pay the other creditors that they'd made the deal with until they pay the vultures.
Isn't it interesting how the term creditors sounds exactly like the word predators?
It is. It's the banksters and the predators. I mean, that's exactly right.
I mean, Coolio got a song about this called Bankster's Paradise, if I remember correctly.
I never heard it. So anyway, you know, the president in Argentina now is Kirchner's wife. He died, and his wife, Cristina Fernandez, is leading a fight. The Pope is on her side on this. He has been putting out very powerful statements saying that the domination of world politics by this bankrupt financial system, which puts money ahead of human beings, is leading to hell, that the world is being driven into total economic and even military strategic disaster. And so Argentina is leading the way in this fight. We're giving full support to Cristina. I encourage you to do the same. And at the same time, we are, as I've said, we are on the brink of getting this traitor out of office, pinning Tony Blair for his crimes and basically the controller of the Bush-Cheney crowd and Obama, and working with our true allies and friends, Russia, China, India, Japan and Korea are playing a part in that, even though Japan's been sucked into this military confrontation with China. But nonetheless, economically, they will be part of this if we put it in place. We have the potential, if the U.S., under new leadership, were to be brought together with Russia, China, and India's current very powerful pro-development leadership, then that would constitute a strength that could literally do away with the British Empire once and for all. The whole London, New York financial oligarchy could wipe out.
Or as I like to call them, the Forex traitors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're traitors or traitors, depending on how you say it. But they are indeed traitors with the T, too.
I thought that was quite clever.
It
was slight wit, just the right amount of flavor. Mike Billington has been my guest, ladies and gentlemen. LaRouchePac, is it .com or .org?
.com. Yeah, LaRouchePac, P-A-C, L-A-R-O-U-C-H-E dot, or P-A-C, LaRouchePac .com. Yeah. And the leaflet is right there on the top. I'll send it to you separately, Vinny, if you want to send it out to people, on Hillary Clinton's Benghazi revelations mean Obama must be impeached immediately. This is what we're mass distributing around the world right now.
We don't need no sour grapes. We need an impeachment.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the fruit of our labors, you know. Imagine if it happened. Have you noticed that in the last couple of centuries, the year 14 has made some really big changes, like in the changeovers and things of that nature? I think it was like the Federal Reserve Act was signed in like Christmas of 1913, so like as soon as they came back into Congress when the Christmas and New Year's break was over, boom, 1914, you got some big changes going on. And I think for the first time in human history, we'll be in control of the changes this time. We'll be the ones arresting the scumbaggery. We'll be the ones saving the countries.
This is the 100th anniversary of the killing of the Archduke Ferdinand, which was the unleashing of the British game plan for World War. That World War, the First World War, so-called, was actually started back when the British manipulated to get Bismarck out of power in Germany. Bismarck was working closely with the Abraham Lincoln circle of economists, which is why he broke from the British free trade model, was building infrastructure. He built what was called the Zollverein. He was building a railroad to Baghdad. And this was causus belli to the British. They wanted a war. And so they succeeded in putting together alliances, which then they blew up 100 years ago. This year, and started what really was a continual World War I and World War II, which was really a continuation of the First World War. British efforts to blow up Europe and Eurasia. And that's still what we're facing today.
Yep. First with military force to knock you off your feet, and then with economic force to keep you down. Thank you very much for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the Fukushima irradiated. Of course, we don't know how much because they stopped testing for radiation last year, including all the imports, which helps us to sleep well at night, especially a big wind we glow in the dark. And my very special guest here, the den mother of the United We Strike broadcast marathon that happens every single month on the second Saturday of every month. And coming up this weekend, it's Karen Tostado. Welcome.
Well, hi, Vinny. Thank you very much. The marathon isn't coming up this weekend, the second Saturday, so it will be after that. But I actually did find another website that is having a strike, that's proposing a strike. And this one, it's called the Nonviolent Revolution, begins July 5th, and they're talking my language. They're speaking my language about staying home, the 5th and the 6th, not spending any money, understanding the Act of 1871 when we've all been corporatized, and beginning to also hit where they really are vulnerable, and that is in their wallets. They keep taking from us. It's about time we withheld our money from them.
Mm. Yeah, well, it seems that when an idea starts to come up, people start to pick up on it, you know?
Well, I've been pounding this drum for a long time, and I don't care what day it actually ends up being, Benny. I just think that there is a time in our lives, usually in personal relationships, where we just discover that what we thought we knew about the person that we chose to be with is not the reality of who that person is. And we have to be able to recognize that and disconnect. Like, we have to be able to look in the mirror and understand our government is not what we have been lied to believe. And if we truly want to value our lives as individuals, we need to stand together and reject profit over people and the militant industrial complex. But we need to do it collectively, because when we stand in little groups here and there, it does not work. So as more and more people begin to understand just how much power a strike truly could have, I'm hoping that here and there, Vinny, if it picks up, and possibly we can support this one that they're calling for the 5th and 6th, which over here in America is right after the 4th of July, which is this coming Friday.
Well, can we talk about this in terms of the relationship emotions? I mean, what do you do when you're in a toxic relationship? You get out of the relationship, you stop contributing to it, and you don't talk to the person again, right? How exactly do you do that with your government, though? It's like one of those stalker relationships, you know, where even though it's over and they should know that it's over, they keep coming round and saying, oh, can I help you to move house when you're doing this kind of thing? What's your new phone number? All of that kind of stuff. Ugh.
I really like the idea of holding all the individuals responsible who are representing the immoral corporate government. So once they start to understand that it's not the government we're going to sue, but it's the people individually who cross our paths, who choose to enforce immoral action. And I think it's time also that we really grew up in a lot of ways. And we began to see that, you know, the mafia is the mafia, and they are running this world. I'm calling them now the militant industrial complex, because I believe that's exactly what they are. They are giving all of their horrible equipment to all of the little police stations over here. The policemen are able to kill with impunity. We are at a point in history where we either need to resist or understand that we're going to be taken down, but we continue to fight each other instead of looking at our real problem, which is our belief in the monetary system and in our value being outside of ourselves. It is not. It's what we can bring to the table. And things like self-ownership, cooperation, non-aggression, honorable defense, and moral stewardship can turn the tide if we decide to embrace those opportunities and those attributes at the same time and grant them to ourselves.
Because people are so disconnected, they think self-ownership is a form of mobile device.
Well, it's a scary world out there, but as we keep coming to a head, and I mean, we are going to come to a head, folks really need to have food and water, storable food and water, ways to make sure that they can get water when the infrastructure goes down, I am really wary of another false flag because they need it so badly. And as we approach now the 4th of July, it's a great date for all of that stuff. You know, people need to be prepared. But it can be easier than we think. You know, we're so driven to jump through hoops for other people. We don't ever stop long enough to take stock of what is truly important. And that's our lives and our wives, our children. Our lives are important. And instead of thinking that, you know, we have to be in debt and that our value is outside of ourselves, what we can creatively bring to the table as we work toward healing and toward a better future, demanding accountability. I mean, corporations now want to be able to sue to get money back for BP. My husband who's listening today, BP is not satisfied, you know, with like wiping out all of the species that they have been able to kill or making people as ill as they've been made or even counting how many people have died directly as a result of poor exit and all that. But they do want their money back from Uncle Sam because we caused them to lose profit. Isn't that sad?
Oh, we're so nasty, you know. How many people lost their lives or now have debilitating conditions or some stuff like that?
Too many to even mention. And they're so tired of trying to fight for what is right. And when I look around, I don't see anything that government is really working on. I mean, we're here because we've been obedient to their policies. It's not us as individuals that are causing the mayhem. It's their policies. It's authority. It's, oh, yes, I'm going to wear your uniform and sign up to protect this because I don't understand. It's about banking and you're poisoning me anyway through the GMO foods and all the rest of it. You know, we need to strike on the money. We need to keep it from them. And I applaud this group who's talking about the nonviolent revolution. Although it doesn't look like they've got it all together on their website. I do have a link to that on the UnitedWeStrike.com homepage. And I want to encourage people, too, to look down and think about the power of what we could do if we truly turned our backs on the system so completely that there were empty airports and empty streets and no one was participating in Wall Street. They were pulling money out, going to the banks to pull money out. People were not participating in the global huge corporations. Think about what that would do. They couldn't handle it. And it would give us the power of being able to stand as one and demand peace and immediate ceasefire. Let us send every single solitary military person home to their countries to help rebuild. Let's just start over immediately and declare peace. And then let's declare the militant industrial complex be forced to turn over all of the hidden technology. Let's refuse to pay the fraudulent debt. Let's really start over in our homes and in our hearts and in our families, in our neighborhoods. We can do it if we try, if we really embrace self-ownership. You know, that means that we agree to own ourselves and we respect that other people own themselves. And as long as harm, injury, or loss does not occur, there's absolutely no reason for massive legislation and rules and all the rest of the crap that they'd like to force us to believe in. There's no reason to go through their systems because we would be there forever trying to deal with their mismanagement and manipulation of the language. We would simply start over as real human beings who declare to own ourselves, to cooperate, to nonviolently work toward healing, to embrace moral defense, honorable defense, so that instead of standing by and allowing these corporations to destroy the rivers and to use their toxins to spew everywhere to profit, we would stop that immediately, which would be part of moral stewardship, which again, if we just simply think about those concepts and our lives having meaning right here and right now, not waiting to die or go to heaven or nirvana or wherever, we can actually rebirth ourselves here and now collectively and make a change. That's what I choose to believe in.
I say that, of course, if you want to do something collectively, it has to start within as well. So it's an ironic little relationship that the collective and the individual has. One doesn't exist without the other.
Agreed. And we keep being divided and fighting against ourselves. And instead, you know, all of us need clean air, clean water, healthy food, self-sufficient communities, and love. We need to love ourselves enough to look in the mirror and face the fact that we have been lied to beyond our wildest dreams or imaginations. And it's a horrible reality, but it needs to be faced. And it's almost impossible to think about all the ways we have been manipulated and experimented on and stolen from without our knowledge or consent. But once you face that fact, at least you can start to understand that authority and the lie of authority and to be very afraid of your neighbor is just that, a lie. Those who want power are coming from fear and lack and scarcity in an abundant world that they are destroying through our participation as individuals. A strike would truly stop that momentum. It would break that momentum. And then we could step back together long enough to think about what is truly important. And it's not Wall Street jobs. It's making sure that each and every one of us has a roof over our heads and food and water. There is no reason at all, aside from criminality and the lack of scarcity which is imposed, to have empty buildings while people are on the street. There's no reason to have half of the people in Detroit cut off from their water supply because profit is more important. There's no reason to have wars of aggression where 85 to 90% of all casualties are non-combatant civilians. No reason whatsoever aside from our ignorance and our apathy, which can stop when we stand together, break the momentum, and step back.
You know, it all makes sense, though, if you're a criminal, psychopathic scumbag.
Unfortunately, it does.
And that's because, obviously, criminal, sociopathic scumbags are in control of the system. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I've known some criminal, sociopathic scumbags. They're not nice people. They take everything from you and they just lie and cover their ass. And then if you try to expose them, they just attack you and try to destroy your life. And they freaking succeed most of the time. And they do things to you that you would never do to them because you've got moral fabric. You've got moral fiber. They don't. You imagine that on a grand scale. All of a sudden, all of the crap stuff, all of the terrible things you see on the news, all of the phony wars, all of the fake debt, it all starts to make a hell of a lot more sense, doesn't it?
I'm constantly reminded of my friend Charles Irwin's acronym for crap. Although he had criminals running American politics, and I say criminals run all politics, and it is all crap, and it's all illusion, and it's distraction, because if they can make you think that you can vote to make a change, no, it's also the definition of insanity. Let's repeat the same behavior and expect a different outcome when we know that our misrepresentatives are bribed, when we know that the GMOs are here because they've allowed them, when we know that they would rather have profit over people, and now BP is going to be able to sue us. So again, the American taxpayer will pick up the tab for everything. And when we also know that they preach their false belief in overpopulation, because I strongly believe the world is not overpopulated, and they continue to try and wipe us out and use us against ourselves. And we have to really step back from that precipice and ask ourselves, who and what are we living for? Are we here simply to really obey some religion that tells us to suffer our entire lives so that when we die, we hit the jackpot? Are we truly here to ignore everything that's going on around us? Because when we do die and we hit that jackpot, the master of the universe is going to say, hey, it's okay with me that you ignored everything else while you were there and you let your whole planet be totally destroyed and put in a shit pile. But now we want to move you up to the penthouse. Yeah, that's what you deserve. Is that our idea of what's coming later? Or the 72 virgins and who knows what the hell they did wrong to end up with the bozos who actually are believing that that's their reward for murdering innocent people? Or do we reclaim our morality?
I've never seen a greater reason to not die a virgin.
Well,
Well, at the moment, it's just basically like alcoholics at an open bar. And, you know, the American people get to pick up the tab.
You know, well, we're the military arm of the New World Order. You got the financial head in London. You have the spiritual head in the Vatican. And we are, you know, the District of Columbia, the military arm of the New World Order. And all three of those states have their own obelisk. They have their own armies. They're autonomous. They don't pay any taxes. They enforce their own rules and regulations. And we so seriously need to grow up and step away from handing other people our power in order to determine our own future, because we don't know until we get there. And right here and right now in this third dimension, which we are co-creating a third dimension, we need to raise our consciousness and begin our moral stewardship and again embrace what we can change here and now, because it's really the only place that we know we are capable of making a difference.
Well, I find if you make a difference by yourself, you don't need to look at examples of other people anymore, but you need those examples in the first place. You know, like if I hadn't seen great comedians and filmmakers and talk radio show hosts and stuff like that going out there doing their thing, it might not have inspired me to go do my thing. And in such a way, the individual inspires the collective in a ripple effect kind of way with unforeseen consequences.
Well, agreed. We can all be that pebble. You know, we can all create that ripple to allow it to go outwards in our own life. And I choose to believe that as we remind people that they can become the heroes of their own lives. And there are those predictions from the Hopi and the Zuni and other indigenous tribes that when the earth most needs us, which was yesterday, people of all ages and creeds and colors will unite to create a better world. And that does make them the heroes of their own lives. We're more than obedient debt slaves. But until we can actually step back and break that momentum together, it's hard for us to understand that because we have been so badly manipulated and lied to throughout history. It is almost, well, it is actually, Vinny, unbelievable when you start going down all these different rabbit holes to things we could never even think about, especially in terms of the transhumanism. You know, dropping whatever it is they're dropping from the sky. We already know about the aluminum and the barium and the strontium. We know about their underground cities. And we know that something has to hit the fan in order for them to take control. And now they're just flooding our borders over here in America with illegal immigration, immigrants who have been helped up here, you know, riding the rail. They're not stopped. It's all part of getting us to fight each other instead of understanding that all of us as human beings deserve food and water and shelter. And the only reason we don't have those is because of this fractional banking and the few who would have it all, because this is an abundant planet. And it is absolutely obscene that the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds should have so much, and the Queen and the President.
Oh, they put the frack. They put the frack in fractional reserve.
They are the evil, lying, inbred, traitorous eugenicists. You know, it's time that we face that fact and stop obeying them and stop kowtowing, because why should they have it any better than we do, especially when they're at the bottom of all of this? We've got to just face that ugly truth, look in the mirror, and step back at the same time if we want to have any kind of a future at all, because we're already in World War III. It's just not declared, but it's still World War III. And as we sink deeper and deeper into the hole and more misery comes around, it's the bankers in the bank ground, B-A-N-K ground, who are causing it all. And we need to stop them by withholding our money. And we can do it together by staying out of the corporate system. So get your food and your water. Get what you need to protect yourself. Get survival and protection gear. Get those guns. You know, be able to protect yourself and your family, and see the power of what would happen if we dropped out by the millions and they had empty airports and empty banks and they had empty courtrooms.
Well, on the gun thing, I saw a hilarious post this morning on Facebook. It has a guy kind of looking really depressed, like with his arms hugged around his knees, and his wife looking, or girlfriend or whatever, like trying to comfort him. And he says, "You know, it really makes me uncomfortable that you have guns and you think positively of them." And then the girl says, "I think we both need to see other men."
Vinny, I wasn't really comfortable with the idea of having a gun when I first started speaking out. And all that has changed because I see how they use that as well. They use the peaceful, heart-centered thinking against us. And they brainwashed us out of honorably defending ourselves. You know, it is not moral to stand by and watch someone being abused. And this whole thing with Sandy Hoax, you know, all of these false flags that are perpetrated upon us, it is such an Alice in Wonderland journey to try and find truth, but we can build that ourselves within our homes, within our communities. If we go local, we can. And I just think, Vinny, now as well, we need to face the fact that we are all prisoners of war. The militant industrial complex has everybody by the short hairs. And until we resist that together by saying no, I mean, it is unconscionable that 85 to 90% of casualties are non-combatant civilians. That's ridiculous. We pay for that. You know, simply staying home at least 2 days. On the 5th and 6th, let's stay home and say no to that. Let's regain some sanity. Let's stand for morality. Let's understand that there is more than enough to go around. And we just need to stop following these cretins who are coming from fear. And the same people who have gotten us into this mess, there's no way they're going to get us out. They want the world government the way that they've got it planned, and everything we do will be monitored unless we stand together and resist.
Isn't it ironic how much you can accomplish by literally sitting at home and doing nothing?
Well, it's not exactly
if it's done for the right reasons, and if it's done at the right time, and it's organized simultaneously, doing nothing can change the world.
Well, but it's also, Vinny, doing something if what you do is you take the time to step back with your family and say, okay, if we had a great earthquake or if something happened, what would we do to survive? If we had no more electricity or water, what would we do? So it doesn't have
well,
to be...
Well, technically, Karen, if nobody turned up to work that day to the power plant because they were on strike... then you'd really have to have a discussion about not having any power, wouldn't you?
Well, the thing is, Vinny, we have individuals who have been compartmentalized into working against our best interests. So those are the people who have moral stewardship and moral values who would still show up to make sure that we did get water. They would make sure we did get electricity. But the thing is, when it comes time to pay that bill, well, sorry, you're in bed with HSBC. You're funding Al-Qaeda. You know, we see that right now what you've done is create money out of nothing. My hard work goes to your imaginary dollars. Imagine what would happen if we all decided to declare ourselves debt-free.
Indeed.
Start over on the 15th or the 5th and the 6th, like they're talking about here.
Why not both?
And it's a reason, too, Vinny, why the 15th is monthly, because if and when it ever truly did catch on and people understood, okay, I've got a month now to talk to my friends, to maybe put off paying some of my bills, to kind of, you know, to see what I can do here, maybe use my credit cards to make sure that I have storable food and water and solar panels and generators and what I need. So what would happen if millions of us used our credit cards for that, and then we stopped on the 15th because we had everything we needed, and then we demanded a turnaround and a return to sanity and peace, and all troops sent to their home countries to rebuild, and hemp oil, true healing that would be granted to the soldiers who could help us hold those accountable who brought us here, who could get the treatments that they needed. Let's demand that the militant industrial complex turn over that hidden technology. Let's
turn it over. Give me the devices. Karen, unfortunately, we have come to the end of the segment now. You can catch Karen and myself, Suzanne Puzzle, and a whole host of other colourful characters on UnitedWeStrike.com on the tax-free 15th. Extremely colourful characters. Some of them even unsavory characters. I of course, refer to myself. And you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Go and check out thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood isn't go ahead, make my news. And check out the little banners and sponsors and things of that nature that we have, as well as reminding you that this show here only exists because the bulk of the funding comes directly from listeners gifting through the PayPal or through the Kiwi Bank account if you happen to be a New Zealand listener. Thank you very much, Karen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest joining us now is Weston Warren. Is it Warren Weston or Weston Warren, or what's going on here?
Vinnie, you got it right the first time. Weston's my first name. Warren is the last name.
That's interesting. You've got a last name for a first name and a first name for a last name.
You're right. That's exactly right.
Right. Or left. So please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, and plug your website, services, etc.
Oh, sure, Vinny. I'm a research scientist. I have a multitude of degrees. The science, two science degrees that I have that relate to this technology is chemistry and environmental science. Went to a very well-known school here in the United States, and
What's the name of the school?
It's Westminster University in Fulton, Missouri. It's where Winston Churchill gave his speech, the Iron Curtain speech.
Mm.
If you recall, that was at this college. It's called the Harvard of the West, west of the Mississippi. It's a private, elite, Ivy League type school.
How'd you get in there? Scholarship, or did you have a well-connected family?
No, it was not a well-connected family. I grew up on the poor side, lower middle class, but got there because of my grades from the other degrees that I have and the project that I was working on that we're going to talk about this evening.
Hmm. Well, it seems like you're quite a learned individual, which means you've probably got wide areas of thought patterns and studies and whatnot, which, if I might say so, would probably result in some wide-rangingly effective technologies that actually change things on a fundamental basis.
Right. And a third degree that I didn't mention, but it is related, it might sound strange to you and the listeners, is a comprehensive degree, a doctorate degree in Hebrew and Greek studies, scriptural studies. So the reason why I bring that up is I have found through ancient writings and ancient civilizations and technology that a combination of that, what was already done in the past, in today's modern quantum mechanics or quantum physics, type of research and technology that is not taught in the universities around the world. it's a different, I hate using the expression thinking out of the box, but it's not taught. And there's a lot of technologies that are amiss because the typical PhD, the grad student PhD, their mindset is traditional university thinking, and they're missing so much.
Mm. Well, it just kind of occurs to me that PH makes the F sound, you know, like a phone. And yep. I don't know, they just seemed a bit effed in the head. That's a PhD to me. Sometimes.
Right. A lot of times, because you're in the you're in that modeled system, so you're trained to think throughout the school system. You're spending 17, 18, 20 years in a school system. You get in a mindset. You know what they're looking for as far as your essays and your white papers and your research, and you're afraid to maybe step out of those bounds because you could lose scholarships or standing at a university. So you tend to be in lockstep in your research. So individuals like myself come along, and you have to be able to do this research and not be in fear of being booted, and also have your own financing. I funded my own financing.
Wow.
All of it was self-funded. I used to play professional sports as a living when I was younger and save that money and my businesses. Every penny was for me. So there you don't have the intimidation. It's your own money. They can't pull that rug from underneath you, threaten you with your research funding, your grant money. So that gives you some freedom. But it's tough to do. Not everyone can live off what they've accumulated over the years.
Mm. Well, I was just wondering, I mean, as you were saying, it, how these kids go from high school to college, university, and then they'll do the post-grad studies and the PhD. And during the entire time, they've got an authority figure telling them what to do, what to study, how to think, and telling them what gets good grades and what doesn't. At what point do these people get a chance to learn how to think on their own independently?
I don't think they do, because you have to buck the system. As soon as you buck the system, it's say goodbye to your friends, careers that you thought if you're wanting to work for a Fortune 100, 200, 500 company. So I think very few people have the wherewithal to buck that whole system and be a true rogue researcher. Just like you're a rogue journalist, the real journalist. Look, you had to do it on your own.
Well, I'm not qualified at all. Although, interestingly enough, I saw a list of all these things that are supposed to be like the principles of journalism, and none of the mainstream media follow them. I wasn't even aware of them at all, but I was following every single one instinctively, because right. Real journalism is simply about honesty, empathy, and wanting to see both sides of the story. And basically, that's about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not freaking complicated. It's not rocket science. So if you're not getting the full story from a journalist, it's because they're not a journalist, even if they're qualified. Right.
That's correct.
And I presume in your kind of eclectic fields of research and technology that you might have had some negative media attention at some point, maybe?
Well, the research that I was involved in for many decades was below the radar. It's an expression my dad used to say. He was a pilot back in World War II. And doing this research below the radar meant we didn't use any federal grant money or university research money. Kept a low profile. Experiments were done quietly. No press releases. The white papers were peer-reviewed, but very close. So we didn't draw any attention to ourselves for a reason, because we were onto something big. And we didn't want industrial espionage.
Which is a real threat, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it is. A lot of people don't realize it never hit the media here in the United States. But in March of this year, the patent laws change for the first time in the history of the United States. The United States was one of the last few countries in the world that had the policy first to invent, retained all the IP, intellectual property rights of the invention. Well, they switched without any press releases and very quietly to first to file, which was what most of the world has right now. And people go, well, what's the big deal? What's the difference? The difference, I'll explain quickly, is when you're first to invent and you can prove the date that you invent, say you're a farmer and you're well-versed with tools, you have your own machine shop because you're forced to repair your equipment because you're in a rural setting, you don't have a hardware store nearby, and you invent something and you log it and you have a journal and you continue to work on that item and you scrape enough money, maybe 15 years have gone by and you go to file a patent, they recognize that date that you first worked on it with your original drawings, even if it were 15 years ago. And if a corporation or anyone around the world went to file for a patent, but they can't show their original drawings and intent and you're 5, 6, 7 years ahead of them, the United States used to award that to that farmer because he was the first to invent. Well, now that it's first to file, you have an industrial espionage. A lot of your shows covered it, many others. You know, the NSA, the text messages and cell phones and Google searches all being recorded a live time. What that means is, subtly, say I was working on my next invention and I've been involved in it for 3 or 4 years. If I'm being surveilled by the NSA, for example, and they're listening to my phone conversations, my text messaging, my email, my Google searches, and I'm in a database, they're not stupid. So they can tell in 3 or 4 years, I know what Weston's working on. Look what he's ordered on the internet. Look at the conversations he's had, the texts, the correspondence with his emails, with other scientists. He's working on blank, whatever this So as a surveillance, what happens is when they know I'm close to perhaps contacting my patent attorney, the intellectual property attorney, they've already filed because I've been spied on this entire time. They file 90 days before I do, and I'm locked out. They're the first to file, if that's making any sense. It's very difficult now for the
industrial defiling.
Absolutely. That's exactly.
It's like defrauding and filing at the same time.
Right. So this might sound odd, but for any independent researcher now, because if you look throughout history, most of the earth-shaking inventions were literally the guy working out of his garage or in his basement. If anyone, all your audience listening around here, as you're researching and you have good ideas, think about it. You're going to have to do it without using your computer, no cell phone conversations, no texting. It's almost like using carrier pigeon and handwritten notes because you're going to have to do your research subtle. If you order equipment, you're going to have friends or relatives order it, have it shipped to their house, then you collect it because even having stuff ordered and delivered UPS, FedEx to your house, they understand
everything. This turns inventors into drug dealers, more or less, in the way that you have to behave.
Yeah, that's where we are. In this day and age, your intellectual property, because of the surveillance, is wide open, and now you have to be stealth and behave this way to have any fighting chance to take a product to the point where you're ready to apply for a patent. You literally have to have this secrecy up into 24, 48 hours when you go to see your IP attorney and he can electronically file and have that time stamp through the electronic file. And then you caught everyone off guard. Go, wait a minute. What is this? Some guy just filed something. Who is he? Where'd he come from? That's what you have to do nowadays as a scientist. It's insane.
So let me get this straight. It's actually made the scientists into basically saboteurs. Not saboteurs. Spies, more or less. You have to be half scientist, half spy.
That's right. You got it. Which is a shame because my brain, I'm wired to be a scientist. Now all of a sudden I have to be like a CIA operative, some spy. That's not how my mind works. So it's taking time and energy away from my research, because now I have to think in a covert strategic manner. That drains me. That's time consuming.
I hate talking to people who are real cryptic in their conversations because they can't say what's on their mind because some freaking phone somewhere is recording them and it might be sent back to a data center and then they'll dispatch a hellfire missile that will hunt down that unlucky person who's halfway across the world and shove it right up his ass. You know, I hate those kind of conversations. They're really tense.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, maybe I'm going off on a tangent there. Anyway, speaking of technology, what have you actually got that's publicly available at the moment?
What do you have is a technology called PCO, photocatalytic oxidation. That's the technical name, PCO. And NASA, MIT, originally developed it for the space program, mid-90s, for the space station and space shuttle missions. And what PCO does is it uses a UVX wave. Well, that's what we use now. In the beginning, they used an ultraviolet light, a light bulb. You know, the blue kind of has a blue incandescent color to it, a UV bulb. And they had a doping or matrix material in close proximity to the bulb made out of titanium dioxide. So the concept was the photons or light packets of energy leaving that ultraviolet bulb would strike the screen that was dipped in titanium dioxide, and a chemical reaction, photochemical reaction, takes place, and hydrogen, positive hydrogen ions and negative oxygen ions are formed. And any of the science people, your listeners, know that those are oxidizing agents. And what's good about oxidizing agents is if there's any kind of contaminant, microbe, pathogen, they're very effective in destroying or killing that pathogen or microbe. So that technology helped keep the space station and space shuttles kind of clean and sterile. There's two reasons. You have a zero gravity lab in the space station. And space shuttles, a lot of times government agencies or corporations, there's a year's waiting list, and it's high dollar per hour. You don't want to have a five-year wait and do an experiment in zero gravity and have it compromised because of contamination in the lab. So this would take care of that. And then they had hydroponic plants, growing plants in space, because if you have any kind of long-term space exploration, you need to be able to grow plants, grow your food. And this technology helps keep plants healthy and destroy plant pathogens like your S-chartum, your Stachybotry molds, yellow, green, black molds that attack plants. So I was on a scientific team in 2004 where we took the original NASA design of the mid to late 90s. And after 8.5 years of self-funded research, quietly, below the radar, without any publicity, we took NASA's original design of this PCO technology and improved it by 1,000%. So, which they didn't think it was possible. But what this means is our technology now, which is very safe, just like NASA's was, we are able to produce these ion clusters, positive hydrogen, negative oxygen ion clusters, and generate them through this PCO technology. And any virus, pathogen, or microbe that's in the air or on a surface, our technology kills it in less than a tenth of a second. But it's not harmful. It breaks down into oxygen and water vapor. It'll disassociate naturally into oxygen and water vapor.
So it's kind of like, holy water or silver, you know. It doesn't affect us at all, but little vampire, little organisms and stuff like,
absolutely. Right. So how do you effectively kill a virus, pathogen, a microbe that's harmful to you and I, plants, animals? It destroys them on the spot, but yet doesn't harm us, isn't toxic. poisonous than any. That's exactly what this is.
Well, specifically, why is that? Why is it that those organisms can't survive in that kind of field while more complex organisms can? Does it affect any other things? Like, what about insects, etc.?
No, doesn't harm them at all either.
So it won't keep slugs away from your plants or anything.
Correct. I can answer that question, and that's a good question in a couple ways. People go, "Wow, you're smart or genius." Not exactly. No, nature already does this. When you have a thunderstorm, Vinny, for example, when you have lightning strikes, you have a major corona discharge. And when lightning strikes with your hydrogen and oxygen or water vapor that's in the atmosphere and oxygen during a thunderstorm, you have a creation of ozone, which is three molecules of oxygen, O3. Ozone is a very important oxidation agent. It's gotten a bum rap, and it shouldn't. Ozone's not harmful at all. I'll debate that all day long. And lightning storm also creates certain hydroxyls, oxygen-hydrogen molecules and hydrogen peroxide, H2O2, which is what we create. We create a hydrogen peroxide plasma. And those are all natural scrubbers. That's why after a thunderstorm, you have that fresh smell, that clean, fresh air smell, because that's how nature, the way this...
Isn't it like an ozone effect? It's a triple bonded oxygen molecule, and it kind of they do the same in ozone therapy as well. Cleanses the blood of pathogens and organisms like that, what have you. Is that about right?
Right. Yeah. So, nature, if nature didn't create this natural process, life would have ceased to exist a long time ago because the atmosphere would have been so contaminated. Well, when you have a thunderstorm, and these natural molecules are created through the weather system, it doesn't kill you and I. It doesn't kill birds and earthworms and plants. We thrive on it. So we just found a way, Vinny, basically to mechanically create a thunderstorm without the rain.
Yeah. Well, you save it for a rainy day, don't you?
Yeah.
Although, you know, people are completely unaware of that fact right there. I'm completely unaware of that, you know? You know, you're saying, what, corona discharge does that? Most people think a corona discharge is an unintended consequence of entering a Mexican beer drinking competition.
Yeah, that's a good one. Right, so that's, you have natural oxidizing molecules that are created in nature to scrub the atmosphere and purify so that life can continue. We just are able to mechanically create that same molecular structure, but we're able to do it indoors. All the statistics show your indoor air quality is horrific. The EPA here in the United States, Environmental Protection Agency, spent millions of dollars in research and have shown that 70% of all illnesses is due to poor indoor air quality. And then there's a sick building syndrome where you have VOCs, volatile organic compounds, off gases of formaldehydes, acrylics, and glues from the building material, all carcinogen. The indoor air is horrific. Well, this technology cleans and scrubs the air instantly without any harmful side effects to the occupants. It's phenomenal.
Well, how exactly does it react to human beings? Can human beings even feel the effects, or is it some what?
Well, the hydrogen peroxide plasma, it's a high-energy hydrogen peroxide plasma. It has a fresh air, slight fresh air smell to it. It's nothing pungent or overbearing. So naturally has a deodorizing effect. So it freshens, cleans the room. Ozone does that same thing too. If you have a flood or a fire, there's ozone machines to help get that smell out.
Apparently, you can chuck ozone tablets in your spa pools and stuff like that instead of chlorine and bromine and all of those other mean chemicals.
Yeah, that's your ozone treatment's a better way to treat your hot tub or your swimming pool. Water treatment plants have it as well. Yeah, it's much safer than the chlorine and any other kind of a chemical treatment. And
I got a great way to clean the water that I swim in, dunk my head in. Something that makes my eyes burn with osmosbutynus.
Yeah, and causes chloramines, cancerous byproducts. But you can breathe and inhale this. Doesn't affect you whatsoever. Just like hydrogen peroxide, when you buy it at a drugstore or a grocery store, you've got hydrogen peroxide. You can put it on a cut. You know how it kind of bubbles and foams. Hydrogen peroxide's in toothpaste and mouthwash, so it's not harmful at all. But you definitely haven't. The ions help with your mood. That's why a lot of people live near oceans and waterways because of the natural ions. It puts you in a better mood.
Hmm. And that's why a lot of people are starting to hate living in the city because of the natural morons that occur there. All right. Well, unfortunately, Weston, we've come to the end of the segment here, and yes. We're going to have to go to break. Now, where can people get your product if they so desire?
Our website is bioshieldenvironmental.com. So BioShield is one word, B-I-O. S-H-I-E-L-D, and you can do ENV, short for environmental.com.
Is that it? That's the only one? You're not on Facebook or Twitter or nothing?
No, I had a, I don't know, call me old school. I don't like the premise of Facebook, Twitter, and you know, the surveillance. I didn't want to go to Facebook and Twitter. I didn't want to go that route.
Yeah, that just occurred to me as I was asking it. Fucking idiot, buddy. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming on the show, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Remember that this is bulk supported by the listener subscription, so please go to the homepage, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and give us a subscription gift of like $5 a month or something around those ways. Just give something, you know. And if you can't give something, go do something for somebody else, you know. Don't give it to me to pay it forward. Just pay it forward yourself. It's the little acts of kindness and caring that keep the darkness at bay. Not always great power to oppose great evil. And also check out our wee sponsors there, the books, The Crowdfunding Revolution, How to Raise Venture Capital Using Social Media. That won't be of any use to Weston, because if he uses the social media, they'll get him. And The Range of Illusion by B. Holmes, a nice little novel there. Our sponsors are Volcania Coffee, that's going to be coming up soon. The High Tea Cafe, they're already up. And the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga. And also, if you want some lovely energy drinks that don't eat through the can itself, why don't you get Ditch the Can? There's a little banner down there on the homepage of the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, and it's energy drinks in a sachet with incredibly low sugar that are just as tasty and just as energy giving, but nowhere near as wasteful with all the canned products and whatnot, which I think is nice. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest joining me today, right now, is Roger Callanew. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Yeah, hi, thank you. It's good to be here.
Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Well, I've been in what they call, I guess, the truth movement. I don't use that term, but just basically coming back into the private. formerly owned restaurants and stuff and had everything taken out of the system, and they took everything from me. And I got into networking with people and got finding out the truth, basically, about what the country or the world or the world governments are trying to do to the world. And I was tired of it, and I started researching and, you know, looking into the truth, and then started applying it in my life. And since then, I've helped quite a few people become mortgage free, and helped them with their tax issues or property tax issues, you know, third party debt collectors, basically the administrative process, due process of law, but do it and keep in the private and not be in commerce. So I've been showing people how to get out of commerce, basically. And I know that people are having trouble with their money issues. And so when I started out, I figured, let's go for the biggest bill. So let's check into the banks, right? So I've been successful in my own homes. 8 years, I've had no mortgages, nobody coming after me, nothing. The property tax, I just deferred over to the state because they claim to own all property. So when they send me a property tax bill, when they did, used to, or at the one property, I just would ask them. I says, you seem to have made a mistake. There must be a mistake here. You know, in the documents that I got from the bank, it claims that the state, whatever state that is, but the state of owns the land. So you need to send this land tax to the state of Washington in this case, you know? So, on that particular one.
Okay. Well, what's next for you, and what kind of situation are you currently in? Because whenever anybody resists any apparatus of the world government, two things happen generally is, one, they all come at you, and two, you usually wind up having to help a whole lot of people just so that you have a network to make sure that you don't fall over and get exterminated without anybody noticing.
Yeah. Well, that all happened. My success is in it. We got, you know, noticed, and people that were working in offices and knew was deep into this movement. You know, people have heard about Tim Turner and all them people. When that was happening, I knew them people, and the ones that were, you know, all affiliated doing the grand juries and all that kind of stuff. So that went through that cycle, and I went and got myself and my folks out of the system and anybody that would listen. And so through when I was working in the office, there was a huge network, and I was helping people learn. But my only problem with that is I found that the problem they were having is they were believing that the paper was going to do the work for them. You know what I mean? Like we're all indoctrinated into thinking, like, throw money at it and the problem goes away, like paying an electric bill or paying your car off. And in this particular case, it's not that way, you know. I've been working the administrative processes, got myself out, got them out, and that whole cycle went, and with the network and everything, and it went for everybody. That whole other networks went out, and then I just got myself out and started living on my own and not really concerned, but I have been concerned with people in the public and being and feeling safe, like they have people knowing that they're there, that care about them and that understand. And that's what's always kept me safe. So my story starts off when I had to get into paperwork was with traveling. Okay. I moved to another state and I left the old plates on the car, and I didn't know what to do about traveling and how to set myself up like some people did at the time. So I just said, forget it. And I kept traveling around in my car for 3 years with plates on that had no tags, no nothing, you know, it had plates, but it had out of date tags. Anyways, cop tried to pull me over one day, and I just said, forget it, I'm not pulling over. And it turned into a SWAT team at my house. I went all the way home, and that's what started for me, jumping knee deep. I did all my administrative through, because the court is administrative. That is the court. The court really is the document. It's not the building. Okay. So I handled it all without ever having to go, and never had any recourse after, nothing coming after me at all from it. They'll bombard you, you know, and throw all kinds of paper at you for a long time. In my particular case, it was, you know, the DMV, it was the state patrol, the local police department, sheriff's department, two different courts, And so I had like five or six different entities throwing in the same dates, the same paper. And in the administrative process, you know, you have so much time. So I got through it and I got out of it. And I've been successful with all of them. The houses, nobody's coming after them. The only thing that I found out with homes and things is that if you didn't own any of the administrative when you're dealing with these people, if they sense the fear in you, they're going to come all over you. It is not the paperwork or the document that's doing it. It's merely the transmission of power, of your power, you know, and conveying to them that, you know, that you know your business, you know. So that's what I've been doing here now, and I've been looking to get in touch with some people so I can help them and show them how to remain safe in their...
Well, in radio, it works kind of differently. It's more or less not how can I help you. It's how can they get in touch with you to receive your help. So do you have a website or something of that nature?
I have no website. I've just been working through emails. Like I said, I haven't been doing any of this for anyone for probably about a year.
You don't have Facebook?
No, I don't do Facebook.
Well, what's your email address then? Because if that's the only way people can contact you, it'd be pretty stupid not to give it out.
Yeah, well, I give it out. It's AMPL, that's Apple, Mary, Paul, Larry, hyphen up, that's UP, 10,000.13@hotmail.com.
All right, so that's AMPL-UP10000.13@hotmail.com.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. And that's for Roger Callanou, ladies and gentlemen. Roger Callinu. And you can give them help with what, Roger? Just basically if they're having a problem with the courts or cops or mortgage, or is it specific?
Well, if they need to talk to somebody and they need any information on how to be able to make these approaches with them, and they're diligent in wanting to do so, and they know that they want to get out and not walk back into the system, and they're determined in that and can stand by it, then I can help them, because it's their energy that's going to stop it. People don't realize how powerful they are. So they can contact me so long as they realize that, you know, I'm going to help them with their work, and they can donate to me if they wish, but I'm helping them with their work. It's not my work. I'm not providing a service to where they can hold me accountable for something that didn't work for them, because I'm here to lend them my energy, and I can be a set of training wheels for anyone for a period. I'm proven. I've been able to hold properties with my own energy because of what I've did for at least a year. And I've done it several times. I've even taken them from the bank, off the bank, the courthouse steps when they were trying to sell them, and confronted them there. So if they can stand by what they're doing and they have a strong conviction and they want out and they realize what the system is doing, I can help them. But my experience with helping people is that once you do, and then all of a sudden they make all the agreements when you put down the disclaimer and what you are about and what you're not. And when they fail, they always come back to try to blame you for it, you know. So so long as that's not going to happen, I don't mind helping anybody. I that's what I love doing. I love serving people. However, we do have to show expression for time. I don't charge anybody anything. So you want help, I would go ahead and just say, well, this is the value. What's the value to do? Make me an offer like you do in private, you know. And if that's it, then whatever you can afford or whatever, that's how I work with people. When I was doing mortgages, I would sometimes only, you know, they were having hard times most of the time. So I did it for very little, you know, I get started for a mortgage payment or half of one, you know, and that's usually how I did that. And then, I'd ask them the same thing. Well, this is what I can do and usually do. What's the value worth to you? What can you do? If I can help you relieve this and stand by you and teach you and help you learn the knowledge, show you the knowledge, not teach, but show you the knowledge and be here for you, then you just make me an offer and we'll work with you, because I don't need money from people. I'm doing okay. But you do have to show some kind of a compensation in the sense of barter trade, or maybe you could do something for me. And in this case, I'm looking to get in the public to approach officials because I'm tired of sitting and waiting for them to get right, you know. So I figured I would go to the sheriff departments and things and in my local area and ask the sheriff what he thinks about what's going on in the world and where does he stand. And in doing so, do the paperwork and then do that and get it into the public, you know, get it in a network of people so that we have our own public record and we're not doing anything in their world. But if you can do that, I'm here for you. No doubt. This is what I love to do. Could you
actually be specific and perhaps give us some case studies, examples, maybe not even use their names, but specifically how you have helped people and in what ways?
Okay. Well, one person I worked or a woman I worked with, her and her family was in Georgia, and, I met her through the network and stuff, and we were learning this stuff together. And at the particular time, you know, I didn't have a huge network and I didn't have a lot of money either. And to get involved in programs and things to get the knowledge, you know, it was quite expensive. So with her, I worked with her because she had abilities, you know, so she knew how to write programs, you know, on computers and stuff. So she initially gave me $500 to help her with her mortgage, you know, and we didn't just do that. We did everything. We did the UCCs. We did a lot of stuff. Okay. And we worked together strongly for a year. And then when she had a confrontation, and we traded, you know, knowledge, and she helped me out and helped with the studies, and we battered and talked back and forth. That was her part. And she called me up one day and they were coming after it. She had to go to court. She got herself in a court situation. And I had told her previously that I would help her, and call me if I need to come and help you in any situation. Just let me know and I'll fly down there. Right. So she calls me about two years into our, you know, knowing each other and working together. And I just flew down there and helped her with her court. I stayed at her home and went through everything with her and coached her for 2 weeks, went to court with her, and she handled everything beautifully with me there by her side. I didn't have to do a thing. And we were good friends, and I went back home. You know, so that's what I've done there. My folks was the first ones that I did was to help my parents get out of situations because the bills were rather high, and they wanted to do it, so I did theirs. And my dad actually was able to enjoy part of retirement. He was a bit of a workaholic, and for a year before he passed on, and my mom still gets to enjoy the home today, hassle-free. So what keeps them from bothering you is knowing your business, you see, and you can't be afraid. Not that I haven't had any issues there. You know, we've all been pulled over, you know, and beaten by the ones who call themselves the authorities and stuff. And any time that you stand up for truth, you just got to, you know, put that kind of caution to the wind, you know, and that's what people are afraid of, so... I've helped with getting rid of third-party debt collectors, helped with property tax, IRS. You know, these are all things that are easy. It's just administrative. They're all taken care of the same way. The hard part is getting rid of the fear and standing firm in the face of this big giant that's trying to knock everybody down and scare them. And that's that. And so I think in numbers, we can stand stronger if you know that you're in the public and you know that there are, let's say, at least 1,000 people or maybe 100 people or whatever. Why do you think they're standing tall? They're standing tall because they got that big monster standing in the back of them. They're out there. They got a license to whip your, you know what, and they're doing it. And they try. They got the guns. They got the media. They got everything. So if you can feel like you have people standing behind you, not only that, they're not physically with you there in some cases, but their energy is there. And that's big. And their consciousness is there. That's huge. I've learned a lot about that, and I can help share those types of things with them too to get their confidence in who they really are and their ability to stand if they've had enough. But the key thing is you got to have had enough. If you're just going to do a we'll see thing, we'll try this out, or we'll call this guy to see if he's any good. Well, you know, I'm not work like a lawyer. I'm not a service. I'm not here to do it for you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to show you. I'm not here to teach you. You'll have to have your own due diligence. I'll share knowledge, format, information. I'll even go step by step with you with stuff that you have to do for yourself. But the important thing is the energy is in your intent. It's in your ability to stand and that you're done. And and that's where it is. It's right there. And in your emotion, that's where all your power is at. And so that's why they like to scare you so much, because all your juice goes into your emotions, solidifies what they're doing. So it's new for everybody, I realize. And we just got to put on our big boy pants or women pants and get on and do what we need to do. And, you know, just stand firm and it'll happen. So that's what I've done. And there's a lot of them that I've done, so there's no point in going over and helping other people. But I will say this, like I said earlier, my experience is that people will agree with anything is when they're having a problem just to get help for the moment, okay? But when it comes down the road and things gone for a while and then they start feeling uncomfortable, you know, then it's just about talking and getting fortified and having a network to deal with. It could help you out. So, and that's what I'm interested in, and that's what I've been doing. But I'd like to get back in talking with people. And I just got a hold of Vinny a couple of days ago, and I think he's doing a wonderful job there and doing great work with all the people he's interviewing. He's energetic and getting it out there, and he's doing a great work for everyone. And I contacted him to get here to see if I could help and get a record going for us instead of having to use their tools. We need to build our own tools and bring it to us, network, and then.
The primary thing, and this is how I started out, and it took maybe a year or two of doing this before I was picked up by a network in any way, shape, or form. Grab a camera, and you just go out and you do your own stuff, and you publish your own thing on YouTube. You start off with nothing. You go from one subscriber to two to 10 to 50 to 100 to 1,000 to 10,000 to 15,000, you know. That's basically what it is, and that's how long it's taken me. It's taken me a good 5 years to go from zero subscribers to 15,000 now. And I can reach and help a lot of people with that platform. What's problematic about it is that I've had to make nearly 5,000 videos in that time across two different YouTube channels in order to build that following. So yes. Ultimately, this is what you need. You need networking ability. You need to be covering people, and you need to be seen to be doing it, more to the point. So if you have any kind of recording device, you'll also need a computer to edit it, and you'll also need a strong internet connection to upload them. And that's the real problem I've found, is that A, it takes time, B, it takes skill, and C, it takes equipment, you know, and D, it takes money. Like, it really does. Everybody got to pay for something. It doesn't, yep. It's just, you know, as simple as food or whatever. But that's me living within the system. Nobody who's doing what you're doing, getting into the private and all of that kind of stuff, has had the time or the resources left over from their fights to help other people to also publicize themselves doing it.
Right.
You know? And that's like the really interesting thing. It's more like a symbiote circle, right? What happens to one will affect the other. And I think because everybody's got different skills, different lifestyles, etc., we're supposed to be there to help each other in just the little way that we can. So if you can help people with mortgages and what have you, and I can record stuff for radio and put it out there, then I've got a moral obligation to do that. That's what I'm doing now.
Sure.
However, yeah. The rest of the people don't think like me. Like, my point of view is not unique, but it's far from a common.
Yeah. Well, in the battles that I've done, I didn't pick them. I had to take care of them as they come along. I didn't pick the order, you know, and that's usually how it is for all of us. You know, we end up in a problem, and that's the order in which we go, and then we go that way. We either decide to deal with it or we're done with it, you know. And I was done with it because I've been, you know, I won't go into all of what happened in my life, but basically everything I ever did in this life got stolen by crooks, you know, and the last time it was around, I was doing very well, you know, and so you're not allowed to pursue happiness and be left alone. If you're any good at what you do and you end up into a situation where you're actually competition for the big boys, they're going to knock you out, you know? And so you can't just go and do and enjoy what you want to do in this world. So after that, you know, I'm 53 years old now, and this happened to me, so, you know, around 2004 is when really the awakening happened for me. I've always been awake. You know, I've always known it was all wrong. I knew it was backwards, and been doing the talking about that to everyone and trying to get the network all my life. But it wasn't until around 2004 where the true reality of what was really going on and all what was here on this earth hit me in the face, you know, and literally it just ripped everything apart. So that's what got me here. And I'm grateful for it, actually. When the time was going, I didn't know what was happening, you know. But I'm grateful because I'm not being kept lukewarm. I'm not a frog in the pot. You know what I mean? I'm not there just warm enough not to do anything, worried about being upset, losing this or the other. I'm on the way out. Yeah. I'm on the way out of this world and into what's coming. And if there's any people out there that, are interested in doing that, we could build a network easily. Through the help of people like Vinny and others who may hear this recording. Just really love to help. I just don't know how when people don't know how to help themselves. So if there's people listening to this, they're beyond all of that, and I would be more than happy to help you. I only have skills.
Well, can I say something? Because this is a philosophy that I kind of realized just a few months ago, actually, is if you've got skills that other people don't have, you help them with skills, right?
That's right.
But if they are unwilling to learn and take on your help and keep asking for your help after you've already helped them and they refuse to help themselves, that's when you cannot waste any of your time on them.
That's right.
You know, that's the interesting thing. For me, it doesn't have to do with gratitude. It has to do with progress. If I'm going to give you help and you don't show no freaking progress because you're too lazy to help yourself, then you're not my responsibility.
Right. And for those that are in the system, I can show them, well, Santos pretty much did that. The VC, or, you know, that just simply means under duress, you know, and UCCs, to be able to, you have a life raft out there that actually, if you know how to operate that transmitting utility, you can detach yourself from it if you know who you are. But if you think you are your identification, if you think that's you and the plastic in your pocket, if you think that name on the paper that comes in on your electric bill or any other bill for that matter comes in is you, you're mistaken. It's not you. It is a corporate private account, trust account. Okay. They turned a corporation into it. That is not you. Okay. You're just merely the brains and operating in. They got you as a puppet on a string if you think it's you, and they do own you if you think it's you. Now, the way to separate that is put the proper things on there, like Santos has said, the VC before the name. And I just most recently learned that, you know, how they have lines on legal documents. I'm still learning all the time. We always do. We don't know everything. Something years back told me to get rid of the lines. That's why I do all my stuff. They don't make marks on lines. Don't do nothing on lines. Well, it means in their terms, when they have lines, that it needs to be changed. So when you sign on there, you give them permission to change it, because you're supposed to know in their world, it says ignorance of the law is no excuse. So when you put your mark on there, you give them the ability to change everything that's on a line. So that's how crooked it is.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a straight world without that, wouldn't it? All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My guest for this segment has been Roger Callanew. Just remember, if you need his help and are willing to help yourself, you know, go through to a logical conclusion. I'm trying to say that with gritted teeth to make it sound a little bit more angrier. AMPL-UP10000.13. That's AMPL-UP10000.13 roger@hotmail.com. That's Roger Callinier. Email him if you need some help. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and please, by all means, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com if you're still in the slave system and you have a credit card or a bank account or something of that nature, and you're capable of supporting me. Go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and there's PayPal on there, also a KiwiBank account. Now, we've taken up a number of new sponsors, which I want to just quickly mention. We've got two book sponsors on there, The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton. So if you want to figure out how to make a wee bit of money from asking other people instead of going to these big corporate kind of meetings and gatherings and things of that nature where you have to prostrate yourself in front of the wealthy billionaires in order to get some scraps off the king's table, and you actually want to go to real people with a tiny bit of coin each and figure out how to convince them to support you and help you, The Crowdfunding Revolution is a good book to read. It's on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't forget Blue Shield as well. Little tuning forks, if you put them together and they've all got different frequencies, all the forks seem to tune to the strongest frequency. And that's precisely how radiation interpretation works in the body as well. Your cells will automatically interpret and decode the strongest frequency in the room. And in most cases, the strongest frequency is simply the radiation coming off of your wireless devices and your computers, etc. Whereas with a Blue Shield, what it does is it broadcasts an amplified frequency of the natural resonating, I think it's 7.2 hertz of the earth, which cancels all that stuff out. So your cells interpret that instead and don't get microwaved while you sit there. If you're keen on a novel, The Range of Illusion by B. Holmes is on the homepage there as well. Plus, we are going to be launching the Volcania Consciousness Coffee brand soon enough. They are supporting two truth movement outlets in the world. One being the People's Voice in the UK, that was helped to be set up by David Icke, and of course, the Vinnie Eastwood Show in New Zealand. I was quite proud to be on that very short list there. Also, the High Tea Cafe, which are constantly supporting this show on a weekly basis with contributions. And also, if you want some good frickin' soap, you know, like real soap, bro. No, oh my God. I actually really can't get over how good the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga is, bro. Seriously, she said, yeah. Angela there, she sends me this this box of soaps and stuff every month or two, I think. And yeah. You know, it's like Christmas, you know, all this really nice stuff. It's like, that soap smells good. I feel like I could eat it, but it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste as good as it looks. It smells. It's ironic. All right, I'll wash myself with it. Okay. And also on the other... The other element is, if you are like me and you're an energy fiend and you still like to go out and stay up late and things of that nature, stop drinking the frickin' energy drinks out of the cans, bro. Ditch the can. There's literally a Ditch the Can sponsor on the website there. You have your energy drinks in a little sachet, nowhere near the amount of sugar or any of the poisonous crap that you normally get in your freaking energy drinks, which eat through the cans on the supermarket shelves, which is why they had to line them with plastic and BPA, which makes you feminized. None of that stuff here. So go to Ditch the Can, little banner on there. And that's basically the end of our sponsorship. But one thing I want to mention is that I sing, okay? I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter, and we've got a band. And if you scroll down the Vinnie Eastwood Show, you can see that there. The Vinnie sings, the Parky Heart Cheese, all right? And click on that banner there and go and listen to our songs. And if you want to, make a donation to our band. I'm going to, like, split the money with my bandmate and whatever, so it's like a specific thing. You know, you're gifting to the band, not to me. But half of it goes to him, half of it goes to me. I think that's good. I think that's enough. That's a good segment right there. Thank you very much, Roger Callinou, and thank you very much, ladies, for listening, and we'll see you after the break.
Can I say one last thing here?
Well, I guess I can't stop you.
Oh, okay. I was just going to let everybody know, hey, we can get out of this together if we help each other with our knowledge, our time, and our resources. And we'll get each other out, helping each other out, helping him. One gets out of the system, that one's out. And then you've got a place to go, a place to stable, and you keep coming out. One just helping hand after another. If you're willing to do it, it can be done. I'm already doing it. I'm already doing the trust and having it done, so it's awesome. If you need some energy, all I do is take a tablespoon of honey. That'll give you so much energy you won't be able to stay in your skin. But anyway, thank you, Vinnie. I appreciate the time, and I appreciate your effort and everything. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Please donate at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com or sign up for a subscription gift today. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again sometime, folks.